stand up, reach across the aisle, and I want you to pray for one another as I pray for you as well. And if you don't know the name of the person standing beside you, ask them. And you may say, well, I stood beside him last week and I can't remember this week. That's okay. They probably can't remember your name either. So, and if you have a specific prayer concern on your heart, would you just whisper it into the ear of the person next beside you, and they can especially pray for that request today. Father, it's good to be in your house today. Welcome you, O Holy Spirit, into our midst. Lord, you know the personal needs of every person here. Lord, you say that if we talk to you about those things, that you're going to begin to do a work in that situation. Lord, it amazes me that, I don't know how many people we have here, 50 or 60 perhaps. But every one of us praying at one time, you give us, each one of us, your undivided attention. That's amazing to me. It's hard for me to give one person my undivided attention. Sometimes. But Lord, you're just so incredible. You're such a mighty God. Lord, you've heard the requests of these prayers today. And God, I know that you're working in that situation. And so we're going to trust you. We're going to believe you. We're going to rejoice in you for what you're doing in this situation. And God, sometimes the difficulties we face, we want to get out of them, but it's that very thing that causes us to grow in you. It's causing us to trust in you. So, Lord, you know what's best in our life, and so we're going to trust you with the best. Not with what we necessarily want, but what's best. So, Lord, we trust you. We want your name to be glorified, even if it's us going through difficult times. So, Lord, we pray that our mind would be focused on you, our heart would be connected to you. Lord, we would be able to receive from you the things that you have for us today. Thank you, and we praise you. In Jesus' holy name, amen. Is God good or what? He is great. Yes, the children, I keep forgetting, the children are headed upstairs. If we have any other children that want to go with them, they're headed up there to learn about Jesus. So, appreciate Amber and Kristen and those who are their helpers, Cindy and others who are working with our children. Thank you so very, very, very much. Cheryl. Wonderful. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. See, they don't have any inhibitions. This is what we learned in Children's worship. Da-da-da-da-da. You're making an impact in the homes, not just with the children. So thank you for sharing that, Cheryl. Thank you. So she's got some grandchildren she brings, so she knows. Great grandchildren. Okay. Well, whatever they are, they're making an impact. So praise the Lord for that. Last week we shared about the humanity of Jesus and how he was 100% man when he was here on earth. He never did pull out his God card. Although he was God, he never did pull out his God card. And when he was here on earth, he did the only what a man could do who's totally filled with the Holy Spirit and totally given to the Lord, his Father. Today we're going to talk about his deity. So we're going to start in the same verse we started with a few weeks before that happened. In John chapter 1, we're going to read verses 1 through 3 as well as verse 14. So why don't you stand with me and read along with me. Now we're going to read it kind of slow because I want you to get it, okay? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him nothing was made that was made. Now verse 14. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Father, we come before you today. Lord, your word is powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, able to divide asunder between joint and marrow, between the thoughts and intents of the mind, and between the soul and spirit. So, Lord, we ask today that you would use your word to cut those areas of our lives that we need surgery. Lord, that you would begin to uproot those things that we have held that are not in agreement to your word. And Lord, that you would begin to impart to us and implant in us your holy word so that we will know what we believe and believe what you know. Lord, we ask for your grace today. We ask for your love today. We ask for your truth today. In Jesus' name. Amen. So John was one of the disciples of Jesus. There were 12. John was one of them, and he had a... How would you like to have had a front seat view of everything Jesus did? Wouldn't that be awesome? That was John. He had a front row seat. He was an eyewitness of the things Jesus did. He heard the words that Jesus spoke. John was one of Jesus' closest companions. Wherever Jesus went, John was right there beside him. And John watched him do miracle after miracle after miracle. John heard his parables. He saw him raise people from the dead. He saw him heal blind men. He saw him heal lepers day after day. John says, now listen to this. So, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are the Gospels, okay? And half of each of the Gospel is given to like the last week of Jesus' life. And John says this, if everything was recorded that Jesus did and the earth was a library, the library could not hold the books. what John said. And so when John is talking about Jesus being the Son of God, it's more than just, I think he is. It's like, I was there, I saw it, and I know he is Son of God. The disciples believed Jesus. Not just John, but the disciples believed Jesus to be the Son of God. If you remember in Matthew chapter 16, Jesus has his disciples gathered around him, and he says, hey guys, who do these folks say I am? They said, well, some say that you're a good teacher. Some say you're John the Baptist. That's Matthew chapter 16. Some say you're John the Baptist. Some say you're one of the prophets. And some say you're a great teacher. And so Jesus turns to them then and he says, well, who do you say that I am? Peter says this. You're the Messiah. You're the Christ. You're the Son of the Most High God. Jesus looked at Simon. His name wasn't Peter until after this statement. He looked at Simon. He said, and I think Jesus was kind of blown away, because I don't know that he expected that. But he said to Simon, you didn't come up with this on your own. Nobody on this planet has revealed this to you. The only one who has revealed this to you is my Father in heaven. Then Jesus goes on and he says, upon this rock I will build my church, and now I'm going to name you Peter, which means rock. So this declaration of faith by Peter was a declaration that was given to him not of his own understanding, not of his own intellect, not of his own wisdom, but it was given by the Father himself. The disciples knew Jesus was Son of God. You know, not only the disciples knew who Jesus was, demons knew who Jesus was. I want you to look with me, if you would, in Luke chapter 4. And we're going to begin with verse 31. Jesus went down to Capernaum, which is a city on the Galilean lake. And he was teaching them in the synagogues. He was teaching them on the Sabbath. So every Sabbath he would go down to the synagogue, to the church, and he would begin teaching. And they were astonished at his teaching because of the power and because of the authority that he spoke with. Now in the synagogue, now this is interesting, in the synagogue there was a man who had a spirit of an unclean demon. I wonder why a demon came to church. You ever wondered about that? Well, this demon came, well, this fellow came to church, and with him, he brought a demon with him. It's possible. There are times when people come into this church and they're bringing demons with them. Well, he was at church, at the same church Jesus was. And while Jesus was there, this man with an unclean spirit, an unclean demon, he cried out with a loud voice, and he said to Jesus, let us alone! For what have we to do with you, Jesus of Nazareth? Did you come to destroy us? I know who you are. You're the Holy One of God. How would he know that? Well, let's look on. In verse 40, now the same chapter, Jesus has left the synagogue, but it's the same day, it's the Sabbath. When the sun was setting, all those who were sick with various diseases brought them to him, and he laid his hands on every one of them and healed them. And demons also came out of many, crying out and saying, "You're the Christ, the Son of God." And he, rebuking them, did not allow them to speak, for they knew that he was Christ. Isn't that interesting? So do you know how they knew he was the Christ? They were in heaven with him before they were cast out. They knew Jesus from their creation, from the angels' creation, not Jesus' creation. But from the moment they were created, they knew Jesus, because we read in John chapter 1 that all things were created through Jesus. So Jesus had a part in their creation. And so when the demons saw Jesus, they were scared. There's another passage of Scripture. You probably remember this one in Mark chapter 5. It's not listed here, but in Mark chapter 5, Jesus is sailing over the Sea of Galilee, and he comes to a place, the Gadareans. There was this demoniac that came out. He said he was full of demons. His name was Legion. The demon's name was Legion. And so this is what he speaks in verse 6 in chapter 5. It says, "And when he saw Jesus from a distance, he ran and knelt down before him, and he cried out with a loud voice, 'What do you have to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you before God, don't torment me.'" What do you think the demons thought Jesus was going to do? Cast them into the abyss. There will come a time when all demons and devils and everything else are going to be cast into the lake of fire. And they thought, "Oh no, our time has come." You know what? They know Scripture. Did you know that? They know Scripture, and they know what their punishment is going to be. And so they were thinking Jesus was going to cast them into the lake of fire. But Jesus said, it's not time for that. There will be a time. And you know, it's really interesting to me that, I don't know if Jesus asked this question, but it's kind of like, well, where do you want to be sent? If you don't want to go to the lake of fire, where do you want to be sent? And they said, send us into them pigs over there. Remember that? And Jesus said, okay. Go. And boy, there were a deviled ham. Yeah, bad joke. Does she? They ran off the cliff and into the sea and drowned. And anyway, the demons knew who Jesus was. They knew that he was the Son of God. The disciples knew who Jesus was. The demons knew who Jesus was. And Jesus himself claimed to be the Son of God. In John chapter 10, verse 30 through 39, Scripture says, Jesus said this, "I and my Father are one." The Jews didn't like that statement. So they started picking up stones to throw at him. Jesus answered them and said, "You know, I've done a lot of good works. Which of these works are you going to stone me for?" And the Jews answered him, saying, "We're not going to stone you for the good works, but we're going to stone you for blaspheming, because you, being a man, make yourself God." then, go ahead to the next slide, TJ. Well, sorry about that. I thought there was more to that. So Jesus goes on to say, verse 36, do you say of him whom the Father sanctified and sent into the world, you are blaspheming? Yeah, this is it. Because I said I am the Son of God. If I don't do the works of my Father, do not believe me. But if I do, though you do not believe me, believe the works that you may know and believe that the Father is in me and I in him. Therefore they sought again to seize him, but he escaped out of their hand. Jesus never denied that he was the Son of God. As a matter of fact, on many occasions, he calls himself the Son of God. C.S. Lewis, do you know C.S. Lewis? Lion, Witch, and Wardrobe, Near Christianity, Screwtape Letters, other books, made this statement. Either Jesus is a lunatic, a liar, or he is Lord. Either Jesus is a lunatic or a liar, or he is who he says he is. I've known some lunatics. I've known some liars. But I've never known a lunatic or a liar to raise people from the dead. I've never known a lunatic or a liar to heal people of infirmities and sickness. Some say that Jesus was just a good moral man. Some say he was just a prophet. But C.S. Lewis says this option is not left to us. So, listen, either the Christmas story is true, or it's just a fairy tale. Okay? Either the Christmas story is true, or it's just a fairy tale. You need to understand that in the Jewish history books, not just the Bible, but in the Jewish history books, during the time of Jesus, Jesus was mentioned in the Jewish history books. In the Jewish history books, they don't claim him to be the Messiah, but they do speak of Jesus and the miracles that he did. So Jesus is an historical figure just like George Washington is, and just like Abraham Lincoln is. In Jesus' day, some of the Pharisees said that Jesus was filled with demons and that he cast out demons by the power of demons. That Jesus said, you know what? A house divided against itself can't stand. And if I were filled with demons and I was demonic and was casting out demons, pretty soon Satan's house would fall down because there's this war going on inside the town. A house divided against itself can't stand. So Jesus declared himself to be the Son of God. I want us to go back to our opening passage of Scripture in John chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. So was Jesus created? No. He was in the beginning with God. Okay, don't ask me to explain all that. Okay? That's deeper than my mind can go. But I just know that this statement is true. Okay? I do not have an infinite mind. Jesus does. God does. The Holy Spirit does. And so we can understand what He gives us to understand, but there are some things He's not allowed us to understand. We just have to take by faith. He was in the beginning with God. I want to ask you a question. Who was the creator of the universe? I hear God, I hear Jesus. Who was it? I hear the Holy Spirit. Who was it? Jesus. Let's read on. So, I want us to take in the beginning was the Word. Every time the Word is spoken, I want us to change it to Jesus. Go to the next. Did I put that on the next slide, TJ? Nope. Okay. So, go back. Nope, not that far. The slide just prior to the one we just read, John chapter 1. John chapter 1. All right. So, read this with me, and where it says the Word, let's put Jesus there. Okay? In the beginning was Jesus, and Jesus was with God, and Jesus was God. Jesus was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Jesus, and without Jesus, nothing was made that was made. That kind of clears it up, doesn't it? So who created the world? And God. And the Holy Spirit. All three. So, not only do the disciples know that Jesus is the Son of God, demons know Jesus is the Son of God, Jesus declared Himself to be the Son of God, but the Father declared Jesus to be the Son of God. You remember when Jesus was baptized? You remember what was spoken out of the heavens? This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. I want you to understand this. All of you who have received Christ as your personal Lord and Savior are children of God. You're sons and daughters of God. You have been adopted into His family. Okay? It was by an act of adoption. When you received Christ, God says, okay, I'm going to adopt you into my family. But Jesus is the only begotten Son of God. Okay? So, although we are all children of God, Jesus is the only begotten Son of God. And Jesus, the Father said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. In Genesis chapter 1, during the creation God said, let us make man in our own image. Who is us? Who is He talking to? Jesus and the Holy Spirit. He said, let us make man in our own image. And so He created them, male and female. May be interesting for you to know that the God in Genesis chapter 1, in the beginning God, and then God said, let us make man in our own image. That Hebrew word is Elohim. Okay? And that is the plural form of God. Right? Elohe is the singular form of God. Elohim is the plural form of God. And so it's almost like God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. In the beginning, God the Father, God the Holy Spirit, God the Son said, let there be light. And then in verse 26, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit said, let us make man in our own image. It's kind of like they were just kind of conversing with one another about this thing. And God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit came up with this plan and spoke it into existence. And he said it was good. It was real good. So it's no wonder when God shared with Mary that she was going to have a son, that his name was going to be called Emmanuel, which means God with us. So, what difference does it make about what you believe regarding Jesus? If you believe that Jesus is just a good man, or if he is a prophet, or a great teacher, or a baby in a manger, it will have no effect on you whatsoever. Yeah, that's right. No positive effect. But, however, if you've believed and received him as Son of God, it changes everything. It changes everything. It transforms your life. It gives you life for death. It gives you hope for hopelessness. He gives you life worth living. He gives heaven for hell. He gives purpose, abundant life, guidance, a future. He gives meaning for life. He is the answer to life's major questions of who am I and why am I here? John 3:16 says, do you remember that? What's it say? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Okay? So in order to receive what God has for you, that relationship, we have to receive Jesus. John 1:12. But as many as received him, to them he gave the power to become the sons of God, even to them who believe on his name. Romans 10, 9 and 10. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. I speak to a lot of people. When asking about their relationship with the Lord, I hear this a lot. I believe in God. I believe in God. So does Satan. Exactly. So there has to be some. Matter of fact, Satan knows more about God and Jesus probably than you and I do. Okay? So he believes in God. So there has to be more than just a knowledge and belief in God. When I grew up in a Christian home, I went to church before I was born. My dad was a preacher. So I heard the word before I was born. I can't ever remember not believing in Jesus. That never was a part of my life, not knowing and not believing in Jesus. I went to church. Even when I was out of the house, I went to church. I thought that was just what you're supposed to do. Go to church. But the belief I had did not transform my life in any way. Because it was a head thing. It was all in the head. Romans 10, 9 and 10, he says, if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart, there has to be a transference from head to heart. Okay? There has to come a time when you not just believe the truths, but you give yourself to the truth. You give yourself surrendering. If you know there's a, let's just say that you're headed down this path, and you know that every time you go down this path, you run into a brick wall. And there's another path over here that you have to take, and it's possible that you take, if you take this path, that the way will be opened up to you. You have a choice. Are you going to continue to go down this path and keep hitting a brick wall, or are you going to turn around and trust that this way is going to be opened up to you? And so this is the decision we have to come to. Are we going to continue to go down the path that we've always gone and keep hitting a brick wall, or are we going to turn around and we're going to seek Jesus and seek His way? Came a time in my life when I was 22 years old that I decided, although I had all of the understanding or the knowledge, I didn't have the belief. I decided I was going to turn from my sin and embrace Jesus because He offered life. And when I did that, there was a transformation in my heart. There was something that took place that I could not do myself. It was something that Jesus Himself did for me. The opportunity of someone said, I want you to call a friend of mine. I called this week, talked to this friend. This friend had His 24-year-old daughter had overdosed, was killed probably about 7 months ago. This fellow was just spiraling downward. He didn't know Jesus, didn't know any solution for his problem. The more he spiraled down, the more he would drink, where he would spiral down, didn't know how to get out. So I was called, said, Pastor Brad, would you call this friend of mine? I said, sure, I'll call. Called the friend. He answered the phone. And I told him who I was and that I was so-and-so's pastor. And he said, yes. And he said, you probably would be giving me. So he said, I really need help. If I keep going the way I'm going, it's going to be death for me. And so I began sharing Christ with him, even with all of his sorrow, even with all of his grief, with his loss, he prayed, receive Christ as his personal Lord and Savior. Amen. Praise the Lord. because he knew that if he continued down this road, it was going to be a dead end. He needed help. And the Lord is ministering to him even now. There comes a time when it has to move from head to heart. We confess him with our mouth, believe in our heart, God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. But with the heart, man believes to righteousness. Not with the head, but with the heart. And with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. If you would, look on your communication card. On the back of the page. What do you believe about Jesus? Circle one, he's merely a man, or he's God. Number two, I understand the implications for myself and for others of not receiving Jesus as Lord and Savior. Number three, I want to learn to share Christ with those who are not yet believers. Number four, I will attend the class on Sunday nights beginning January the 14th at 6 p.m. How to share Jesus without freaking out. I can't, knowing where I was and knowing where I was headed, knowing what Jesus did for me, I can't not think about others and their relationship with me. A day doesn't go by that I don't think of and pray about those who don't know Christ as their Savior. And as many tools as I can possibly get in my tool bag, share Christ, that's what I want to do. Because I know I can get better and better and better and better and better at sharing Christ. If you have a concern for other people and want to help them come into the kingdom, I want to encourage you to come on Sunday nights. If you possibly can. If by checking this last one, I'll know how many books I need to order, and that will begin on January the 14th. I've seen all of your faces. You've been here. I'm assuming all of you know Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, but it's not good for a pastor to assume. Well, I just want to give you an opportunity this morning. If you don't know Jesus, if you only have a head knowledge and there's not been a transformation in your heart, then perhaps you haven't done what this Romans 10 is asking you to do, is to believe in your heart. Maybe today you would be willing to receive Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. And so we're going to give an invitation here in a few minutes. I can explain to you at a greater, deeper detail, perhaps, than I've done this morning on how to do that. But don't go away today without knowing Jesus as your Savior. Father, I come before you today. And Lord, I gratefully acknowledge you as the Son of God, the Most High God. Lord, there's a lot of things that you promise us. Lord, you answer those questions about who am I and where am I headed, what is my purpose. Lord, only you can do that, and I give you praise for that. Lord, this morning I pray that if there's anyone here who does not know you as their personal Lord and Savior, they would come to you. Lord, because you're the Son of God, you can heal broken hearts. You can break chains off us just like you did for those who had the demonic influences. So, Lord, today we ask you to work in our hearts and do for us what we can't do for ourselves. In Jesus' holy name, I pray.